ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So, we are studying the fourth section of the first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In this fourth section, there are 17 mantras are there. What did we discuss so far? First of all, the creation and its cause. This entire creation is nothing but the manifestation of Hiranyagarbha. First it was Ishvara, then Hiranyagarbha, then Virat. So this entire creation is consisting of three layers. A gross universe, the subtle universe, and the causal universe. At the universal level, the gross universe is called Virat. At the subtle level, same universe is called Hiranyagarbha. And at the causal level, the same universe is called Ishvara. All the three are one and the same. The difference is how we are able to identify ourselves. For example, if we are in the waking state, then we think we are part of the Virat. When we are dreaming, then we identify with the subtle world, subtle mind, and therefore part of the Hiranyagarbha. When we are in deep sleep, that is called causal body experience. That is called the state of deep sleep. Then we are identified with as part of the Ishvara. But in reality, all these divisions are only from our viewpoint. This is what the Upanishad wants to convey. But according to Advaita Vedanta philosophy, the description of this universe is to tell us really only one important matter. Each soul is potentially divine. That is to say, the creator has not created this world like a potter creates a pot. It is more like a clay becoming different pots. There is no such thing called pot excepting looking at the same clay in the form of a particular form. We give a particular name and use it for a particular purpose. So, what is the essential teaching? That this very fourth section, it says, having created, the creator realized that I am not separate from my creation, I am the creation. That is the most important point. That means what? I am none other than the creator. And who is the creator? Real creator, even though he remains in the background, is Brahman. That is how the famous dictum, first comes the realization that I am not separate from Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. Because Brahman is Anantam, infinite. If Brahman is Anantam, infinite, infinite cannot exclude anything and say, you are outside me, and it cannot even say, you are inside me. This inside, outside, whole and part, these are all expressions of ignorance only. There is no I, there is no you. It is only our human language that have to use these words, and that makes all the difference. This is my country, this is your country. So, previously, what we now call Bangladesh and Pakistan, and even Ceylon or part of India. But some division has been made, and then we say, you don't belong to me, I also don't belong to you. So you are Ceylon, you are East Bengal, and you are Pakistan. But before all this, everything is nothing but the same continent, the same earth, the same people. But this is how one single mother and father produce 4 or 5 children. They have some property. Then they divide, the property is divided equally among the children. Then they become separate families. And that is how more and more distance, division, separation takes place. But if we go to the original, then we understand it is nothing but everything is one. One cause is manifesting in the form of so many effects. That is what Bhagavan Krishna wants to convey to us, especially in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva kshetrajnam chapi maam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. I am the only kshetrajna and everything else is only kshetras, infinite number of kshetras. That is for a teaching for the beginners. But in the end, it is nothing excepting nothing me. Nothing else exists. Only me. I am appearing. To whom? Again, we have to understand, this division is not appearing in the eyes of the Brahman. Brahman doesn't say, I am separate, creation is separate. No, Brahman doesn't even say, I created. Brahman knows that I am only one. And that is what we have seen. Atma eva idam agre asit purusha vidhaha. So then he looked around, I am alone. Because he is the cause. Cause is always alone. Effects can be many. Then he became a little bit concerned. I am alone. He became frightened. Then he looked around. There is nothing else excepting me. So I cannot harm me. I cannot kill myself. Do you? I hope you understand this peculiarity of the language we are using. I cannot kill myself. If I kill myself, I become the killer. Killer is not killed, but another person, second person is killed. Since there is no second, there is nobody who is the killer and there is nobody who is killed. Yayenam veti hantaram, eschenam manyate hatam, ubhautau na vidanito vijanito nayam hanti na hanyate. We have discussed this point just to recollect. So finding himself alone, he became a little bit frightened, lonely, frightened and lonely. Then he looked around and said that why should I be fearing? Because there is no object second from me, separate from me, which can harm me, which can kill me, which can rob me. Therefore, dvitiya dvai bhayam bhavati. So long as there is second and not only something else, but even if I think God is different from me, God becomes an object of fear for me. Bhishasmat vatah pavate bhishodeti suryaha. We have seen in the Taittiriya Upanishad. So long as an ignorant person thinks he is an ignorant person because he thinks I am separate, God is separate. Then God becomes an object of fear. Then he becomes an object of worship, then I become one who has to work like a slave, who is frightened of God. I depend upon him. All these problems will arise. But then, this is how Srishti comes. And that is what we also do. I am alone. I can't bear my loneliness. Therefore, if I have a color TV, then I will be very happy. Something to keep company for me, to entertain me, to make me forget my loneliness. Every effort that we do, including work, is only to forget the loneliness. So this is how, then I am not happy. So I desire something. I want a companion, a living companion. Then man and woman come together and they start a samsara. And the vriksha, it gives a lot of seeds, and those seeds will give further birth to many other trees. Even one tree gives the cause of many seeds. So this is how the samsara vriksha. That is why in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is Purushottama Yoga. So, Urdhvamoolam Athashakam Ashwattham Prahurabhyayam. This whole samsara is equated with the most widespread tree called Ashwattha. And the branches themselves become the seeds, the roots. This is how Srishti has come. But then he understood. Who the creator understood? What did he understand? What did he realize? I am the creation. There is nothing separate from me. So what is the lesson? We also have to learn. At the lowest stage of our development, we think we are all different. Everyone, everything, living or non-living, is different from everything else. When we progress further, and this state where everything is experienced as different from everything else, that is called dvaita or duality. But there are two types of dvaitins, believers in dvaita. Those who believe in God and those who do not. So when Vedanta is talking about dvaitavada, it is not talking about people who do not believe in God. It is talking about people who have tremendous faith. I am a created being. I have a creator. And I chose to call him. He is my mother, my father, my creator. He is my sustainer, protector. And when the time comes, he will give me rest. Srishti, Stiti, Laya, all these are the activities of my creator. So a strong faith. And strong faith, like a baby, wants to run to its mother, to its father for protection, for sustenance, for entertainment. So all of us have that unconscious urge, which is expressed in the famous Abhyaroha mantras, which we have seen here in this very Brihadaranyakopanishad in the third section, 28th mantra. Asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, Rutyorma Amrutangamaya. So this creator realized. He looked into and he said, there is nothing other than me. Then what is this world? That is me. What are human beings? That is me. What is these rocks? What are the rivers? What are the forests? What are the deserts? They're all me. So this is the important message that is given in the 5th mantra of the 4th section. So, Veda, Aham Vava Srishti Asmi. Aham Idam Sarvam Asrikshiti. Tataha Srishtira Bhavat. Srishtiyahi Asyai. Tasyam Bhavati Ya Evam Veda. This is one of the very beautiful mantras. So, what is the meaning? When one realizes this, then all selfishness will vanish. Then the sadhaka understands, I am Hiranyagarbha, I am the Saguna Brahma, and then immediately afterwards, I realize, the Saguna Brahma is not separate from Nirguna Brahma. Then comes, Aham Brahmasmi. This will come in the 10th section of, but just I am foretelling what is going to happen, Aham Brahmasmi. So what happened? Having created this entire universe, having created. And then the creation was of three types. First of all, creation of living and non-living creatures. Then creation of the different worlds for people to experience different worlds. Creation of what is called the presiding deities, devas, so that they can reward people, all of us, according to what, how we spent our life, doing good or doing evil, etc. That is how lokas are divided, and the loka has come into existence only to exhaust our karma phala. If there is no karma phala, no karma phala, no loka. Karma phala, loka. Punya karma phala, unnata loka, higher worlds of happiness. And sinful lives, if we lead, then suffering will be there. So, according to Hindu mythology, the whole creation is divided into 14 lokas. So, ours will fall in the 7th. And above that, ours fall into the really 8th. Because this is where we can create our karma. Then there are 6 higher worlds, ending with Brahmaloka, Tapoloka, Janaloka, Satyaloka, etc. And below us, there are 7 worlds varying degrees of suffering. They are called hells. And the lowest of them is called Patala. Now, having created, then what did the creator do? How did he know, I am everything? That process is beautifully is given in the next sloka, which is the 7th. What is said here, I will just quote only just a little bit. A nakha grebhyoha yatha kshuraha kshuradhane avahitah syat vishvambharova vishvambharakulaye tam na pashyante akrushnohi sa prananeva prano nama bhavati vadan vak pashyam sekshuhu shrunvan shrotram manvano manasaha tani asyayitani karma namani eva karma namani eva. So what is the meaning of this one? The Upanishad says the self entered all bodies up to the very tips of the nails. That means the self means here the creator, Ishvara. He entered. The whole body is nothing but the creator. The whole sukshma sharira, sukshma prapancha is nothing but the same Ishvara. And causal body, individual causal body and universal causal body, which goes by the name of Ishvara. So, he fills up. That means what? The Upanishad gives a beautiful example. Suppose there is a beautiful sword and the sword has to be protected all the time, even to protect ourselves. Otherwise, accidentally, we may injure ourselves. So, it has to be always kept in its own scabbard, the covering, which is usually made up of light leather or light wood, etc. But the point is, if it is properly made, there will not be gap. It just has entrance like that. But this example is not enough, because we think scabbard is different, sword is different. However, the scabbard may be a protective case for the sword, but still they are two separate things. If you remember, when Akshay was dying, so Sri Ramakrishna was present there and he saw the soul coming out of Akshay as if a sword has been taken out of the scabbard, or a person left the old dress and came out with his naked body. That example is to say that we are invariably associated with the Divine Lord in the form of consciousness. But that is not enough. That is why the Upanishad, this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, tells us something even deeper. What is it? He understood, I am also the sword, I am also the scabbard, I am also the good person, I am also the evil person, I am also his deva, I am also his the asura. I am everything. Besides me, nothing else exists. If we want to understand this statement which the Upanishad is presenting, we have to always bring out that analogy of our dream. Just as when we are experiencing the dream, everything is different. Me, the individual, the main character, I am dreaming, and the whole universe is experienced only from my perspective. I don't know what the other person thinks. I think this is what the other person is thinking. I don't know the truth. If I have to know the truth, I have to become the other person. But even in dream, we can never become. So what is our opinion, our considered opinion, which we believe wholeheartedly, this person is good, this person is evil, this person loves me, this person doesn't. All these things are our own creations. So long as we are in the dream, then we consider everything as separate from me. Then I wake up. Then I recollect the dream. Then what do I understand? What is my knowledge? My own consciousness, taking the help of the thoughts, have become the entire dream world. I was the creator of the dream world. I am the dream world. There is not a single object in my dream world which is not me. So first thing is the recognition, cognition. I have created, I am the author of my own dream. But until we wake up, we will not understand that. Similarly, here also, until we identify with the creator himself through upasana, and that is why the Asha upasana, Agni upasana, Prana upasana, all these upasanas are given. So this is what Shankaracharya tells us, is the core Advaita. He tells us that the difference between the Jiva, me, you, individual, and Brahman is only a notion created by ignorance. The moment we realize that I am everything, all fear and limitations will vanish. In order to understand, how do we do that? We have to take the parallel example of Taittiriya Upanishad, and then we have seen in the Brahmananda Valli, first of all, I am the body, and this body is made up of Anna. Therefore, this is called individual Annamaya Kosha. Then we understand every living creature's body is nothing but made up of food. It has come out of food. It is sustained. It is protected. It is strengthened. It is cured by food only. And in the end, it becomes food. We are all nothing but both eaters of food. We eat other creatures. We cannot live on dead things. We cannot live by eating mud. We cannot, of course we can live. We are eating nothing but mud, but in the form of plants, roots, bark, leaves, fruits, flowers, etc. So we are nothing but complete food only. There is nothing else. Since my whole physical body is nothing but food, then the same thing will become food to everybody. Whenever somebody is looking at me, I am the object, that person is the subject. So that person is the eater, I am the being eaten. Only we don't use those words. But if we encounter any time a tiger, then we understand from the viewpoint of the tiger, we are nothing but food, and it has its own judgment. But what I want to tell, at the same time, we are both the eaters or enjoyers or the subjects, and at the same time, we are also objects. So we are E for each other. We are both the subjects and objects. And then when we understand this, so who is the subject? Ishvara. Who is the object? Ishvara. That's why beautiful thoughts about the dream, very analytical, deep thinking about dream, again and again brought up, especially by Advaita Vedanta, is extraordinarily insightful. Not only that, it is very helpful. Just now I gave you an example. I label somebody as very good. Why do I label that person as very good? because he brought pleasure to me. This is my standard of judgment. However good a person, if he doesn't do good to me, he may be doing good to everybody else. I do not consider that person as a good person, especially if he creates so-called suffering for me. It may be really he is creating. It may be I am only thinking he is creating. It doesn't matter. My belief is the truth, and it guides me to come to a firm opinion about that other person. How poor, how ignorant we are, that this may not be the truth. In fact, it is not the truth. The same person whom we label as evil, when he goes home, is a loving family, parents, wives, husbands, children, brothers, sisters, co-religionists, and maybe they are living in great love. He never even thinks of harming them, but only in relation with myself, we judge everything. So the ultimate judgmental values are only two. So if some object gives me living or non-living, everything is an object. Any object of experience is an object. It could be living, it could be non-living also. Can a non-living object be a cause of happiness? Absolutely. Sri Ramakrishna's example, if a thorn entered into you while walking in a solitary place and you have no, you did not anticipate it, you did not carry any instrument, then you see a bush and pluck a stronger thorn, and with the help of that thorn, you remove the thorn, smaller thorn, which has already entered into your foot or somewhere. So you see, that bigger thorn, the smaller thorn, had become the object of suffering. And the bigger thorn, it is also a thorn, has become the object of our happiness. So you see, what we think is most of the time wrong. That is why every scripture tells that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy own self. And Hinduism tells that you love everything matru devo bhava, pitru devo bhava, acharya devo bhava, atidhi devo bhava. And then we are going to get certain upasanas in the Bhrigavalli, which we will see in our Taittiriya Upanishad class. But what I am trying to tell you, so this creator realized, just like when we wake up, we realize, though the person who gave me so much of suffering in my dream, actually, I only became that person and I gave only suffering to myself. Another person who is equally created by me had given me happiness. Both of them are my thoughts only, accepting a thought, and I am the author of those thoughts. When a person has this realization, what happens? The suffering also becomes a great entertainment. How wonderfully I dreamt. How I dreamt I have fallen from the top of a huge mountain. And when I was coming down, how I felt so much of fear. I will be smashed into smithereens. But somehow I fell upon a bushy plant and it stopped the impact, and then I came down. Maybe I did lot of punyam. That bush happened to be carrying plenty of first class berries, full of juice, maybe strawberries, who knows, or blackberries, whatever it is. So now I started tasting that, forgetting the whole lot. So if we can meditate upon the dream, we understand I am the creator of the dream, and there is both positive and negative elements in the dream, and everything is me. My friend is me. My enemy is me. And this is what Ishvara realized. The whole creation is nothing but my dream, called Leela. So then whoever, then the Upanishad proceeds further. Tataha srishti abhavat srishtiyahi asye etasyam bhavati ya evam veda. He who understands what we discussed just now, that is, I am the creator of the entire world, and I am the really the Virat Hiranyagarbhani Ishvara, then he becomes free. And actually, the world is created. We are the creators of the world. All this time, we are talking about how Brahma created the worlds. Now we have to understand, we are Brahmas. We just as with regard to the every dream we have, we are the Brahmas. You cannot accuse your family members or your neighbors, even your, much less your enemies. You came and created my bad dreams especially, or even good dreams. So, just as we realize, when we realize that I am born in this family, I had this opportunity, maybe sometimes wonderful opportunity, sometimes very limited opportunity, that means I am born in a poorer class of family, maybe lower middle class or even lower class, even as in the past we used to call untouchables class, who created, if you have to believe Hinduism, who created? The person created. How did he create? Through his actions in the past life. So he might have done so much of harm. As a result of that, now you will have to suffer. You will have to pay up. That is called karma phala. And for that, you will have a body. And for that, that body should be a body. It should be born under circumstances to such and such parents who may not be loving, who may be drunkards, who may be living in a slum area, who are always quarreling, drinking, beating the family members. This is the story actually happening everywhere, I have to say. So, people are getting jobs, people are losing jobs. A person who got a job, he lives in a higher world. A person who lost the job or did not get a job, he lives in a lower world. That is what he thinks. Who created? Why this creation? Because our Upanishad itself creates. Bhagavan has no desire to create. That's the first point. Second point, this creation is timeless, anadi. There is no beginning. Then why at all creation is done? Only one answer. All of us, called jivas, have created our own karma phala. As a result of our karma phala, we have to experience the results. And to experience those results, we have to take particular instruments, body, mind, parents, the type of family, the opportunities, the climate, everything comes at the correct, like solving a jigsaw puzzle. Every piece has its own allotted place. So, who created this world? If it is a happy world, if it is a enjoyable world, who created? I have created through my past actions. How do I create? Through my actions. And how does it happen? That I will get that type of mind which squeezes happiness even from, even this is a wonderful thing. We have discussed it in our Taittiriya Upanishad when Ananda Mimamsa section is being talked about. Suppose there is a person, he has got very, what is called ordinary food, ordinary house, ordinary dress, nothing much, only every day he has to live, maybe upon begging food, but he is living in Brahmaloka or Brahma, even Brahmananda Loka. How is it possible? Because the way he views himself, I am Brahman, then he is getting Brahmananda. I am Brahma, then he gets Brahmalokananda. I am Indra, then he gets Indralokananda or Indrananda. I am Narakasura, then he has to experience Narakas Dukkha, Kashta. So, Narakasura Ananda has to be God. This is how we have to understand. And if we can understand what happens, this understanding brings tremendous difference. Viveka will come. Who is responsible for my happiness and unhappiness, I am responsible. So what do I want? I want unbroken happiness. If I want unbroken happiness, I have to live without any intervention of death. And not only that, I must have that knowledge that I am a very, I am alive and I am very happy person. That is called jnanam. So for that, I have to slowly give up the limitations. What is progress in spiritual life? Giving up slowly the limitations. First, sadhaka is advised to give up this annamaya identity. Then virat identity. Attain virat. That means reduce your selfishness. Then you will see the cause of this annamaya virat. Virat annam. Then only he tries to identify the next higher cause, which is subtler, more pervasive and difficult to attain. Then he becomes very enthusiastic. He gets a tremendous willpower and then he goes to that level and then another world appears to him and then he does glimpse Manomaya Kosha or Hiranyagarbha. Then Vijnanamaya Kosha, called also Mahat. Then Anandamaya Kosha, called Ishvara. And then he goes, I am Anandam. I am not Anandamaya Kosha. So anybody who understands this, that this creation is my creation. I am the creation. I am not only the creator, I am the created. I am both the creator and creation. And there is no difference between us. So, how did this creation became differentiated? That is being discussed in this seventh mantra of the fourth section of the first chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Tat ha idam tarhi avyakrutam asit. Tat nama rupa abhyam eva vrakriyata. Asau nama ayamiti rupa iti. What is the first manifestation? Avyakrutam, unmanifest. Everything is unmanifest. And it is given various names. Maya is one name. Saguna Brahma is another name. Remember, Saguna Brahma is the first emanation of the creation. Nirguna Brahma, no creation. Saguna Brahma is the very first manifestation or grossification of Nirguna Brahma as a little gross, but that gross is the subtlest from our viewpoint. That is called Ishvara. He is called Saguna Brahma. Saguna. He is also with what is called Maya. Only difference is he is Maya the Ishvara. He is Lord of the Maya. That is what Bhagavan Krishna says, that he who understands my Maya, Daivi Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva E Prapadyante Mayam Etam Tarantite. Very clearly he says that I am the Lord of the Maya and taking the help of the Maya, then I create this world. So if I want to give mukti to somebody, then I can give. So if there are some Advaitins who do not believe that Ishvara can give liberation, only by knowing Aham Brahmasmi, one can attain liberation. But Sri Ramakrishna said, nobody can pray to Nirguna Brahma. You can only pray to Saguna Brahma, which he used to call my divine mother. And the whole creation is her sport. And she is playing like children play with kites. And through prayer to her, she may grant liberation to some souls. Not to everybody. Yes, everybody will be liberated. But they have to have that understanding. I am not happy. I want to be liberated. Otherwise, like that stupid fish, which is called in the net of the fisherman, they go deeper into the mud at the bottom of the net. Says, we are very safe here because we can't see anything. Therefore, nobody can see us. How long will that illusion last? Only so long as the fisherman doesn't pull up the net. They fail to understand that the mud in which they are taking shelter itself is embedded in that net, and along with that net, the whole thing comes out, the mud will dissolve, it will fall down in the lake, and only the fish remain. Even today, that is what is happening. So, in the beginning, it was unmanifest, and the unmanifest has slowly become manifest, first as Annamaya Kosha, Anandamaya Kosha, then Vijnanamaya Kosha, then Manomaya Kosha, then Pranamaya Kosha, then Anamaya Kosha, the whole thing. This is what the Upanishad wants to tell. And what is this manifestation? It comes in the form of three, even though two are maintained here. One is called Nama, another is called Rupa. First comes the form, and then to distinguish one form with other from other forms, we give it a particular name. Small pot, big pot, square pot, oblong pot, etc., etc. So, Nama Rupa Abhyam Eva Vyakriyate means separated, divided, asau. Therefore, the entire world is nothing but name and form. Therefore, Vidyaranya, the great Advaitic teacher, in his great book Panchadashi, he gives a beautiful definition. What is this world? Sat, Chit, Ananda plus Nama plus Rupa is called world. What is Brahman? Sat, Chit, Ananda. Without Nama and Rupa, that is called Brahman. The world is not different. We give it a form, we are stuck with that form. We give it a name, we are stuck with that name. The third is not given, but in Taittiriya Upanishad we will get it. But the third is called Kriya. Nama, Rupa or Karma. There it is called the Karma. What is Karma? Karma means utility. If I am creating a pot, so I don't create only one pot. For drinking, one type of clay, one type of form of the clay. For eating, another form of the same clay, like a plate. If I want a spoon, then that is another form. If I want to store, another form. If I want to cook, another form. If I want to fetch water, another form. So, first Rupa, form, then Nama, name to distinguish it from others, then everything, every Rupa is purposefully, with an intention, created for the sake of fulfilling a particular desire of ours to help us enjoy this world. And then the Upanishad also tells that sa esha eha pravishtaha a nakhagrebhyo yatha kshuraha kshuradhane avahita syat vishvambaro va vishvambara kulaye tam nam pashyante akrishnaha. This self has entered into these bodies up to the tip of the nails, as a razor may be put in its case, or as fire which sustains the world may be in its source. What is that source? It can be in the sun, it can be in dry wood, etc. But when the fire is in the dry wood, do we see it? No, people do not see it. For viewed in its aspects, only limited aspects, it is incomplete. But then the next part of the mantra tells us something very, very important. Hi saha prananeva prano nama bhavati. Vadan vak bhavati. We have to supply that word, add bhavati. Pashyan chakshu bhavati. Shrunvan shrotram bhavati. Manvanaha manaha bhavati. Anyase etani karmani namanyeva. When it does the function of living, it is called prana. When it speaks, it is called the organ of speech. When it sees, the eye. When it hears, the ear. When it thinks, the mind. These are merely its names according to various functions. Just as the same prana, when it enters in the form of the oxygen into our body, then what are we going to experience? Original prana, mukhya prana. Oxygen, nothing but prana. But once it enters, what does it do? It takes on five functions. So, prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. And all the various activities of the body, such as chewing, such as digesting, such as creating energy and distributing the energy, and whatever is undigested is forcibly thrown out, all for the good health of this body. Similarly, Bhagavan, he entered, he created, then he entered every body, and then we do not recognize because we see only the functions. What is that person doing? He is looking. But who is looking? Bhagavan is looking. Sri Ramakrishna was lying down, very sick, at Kasipur. One day he entered into deep samadhi. After quite some time, he came out. His devotees were there. Latu Maharaj was half reclining, and Sri Ramakrishna's sight falls upon him. There, I see God himself is reclining. And when Sri Ramakrishna used to speak and people were helped, they used to thank him. They used to say, thank you very much, sir. You helped us very much. He says, I do not know anything. Who spoke is my divine mother. When I speak, it is my divine mother. When I breathe, it is the divine mother. When I eat, it is my divine mother. Everything is the divine mother. What is the divine mother? Herein it is called Brahman. Here it is called Ishvara. So, when we look at the manifestation of Ishvara, Saguna Brahma, in the form of various activities, we do not recognize him. We say the eye is seeing, the ear is hearing, the mind is thinking, etc. But really speaking, who is seeing is the energy behind. This idea is beautifully explored in the Kena Upanishad, Shrotrasya Shrotram, Chakshushaha Chakshuhu, Manaso Manaha. So, he is the mind of the mind, thinking power of the mind. He is the seeing power behind the eye. He is the hearing power behind the hearing. So, he is the walking power behind the leg. It is the grabbing power behind the hand. So, the whole body, mind, whatever it is doing, is all because of that Saguna Brahma. How does it do it? In the form of prana. Prana in the form of consciousness. Consciousness manifest universally is called Ishvara. So, this is what creator realized, that not only I created, I am the creation. Just as we understand, not only I had a dream, I am the dream. I became the dream. So, sa yo etat ekaikam upaste nasa peda akrusnohi esha eta ekaikena bhavati. If somebody mistakes that here is a single person, an individual, here is a seeing person, here is a singing person, here is a writing person, separately, he will remain bound. But the same person, when he sees, everything is the activity of the Saguna Brahma, Ishvara. Then he becomes Ishvara. Then he becomes free. That is what he wants to say. And then we are going to come Atma iti eva upasita atra ete sarvam ekam bhavati. But that sadhaka who worships, does upasana, that the self alone is to be meditated upon for all these functions indeed. The whole creation indeed are unified in it, one with it. It is only Saguna Brahma who is the creation, who is the creator, who is the sustained, who is the sustainer, who is the absorber, and who is the absorbed. There is nothing else excepting him. If we can understand, we will become free. Beautiful mantras are there. I have only chosen very important ideas, and I will also give a glimpse, because Shankaracharya, he does elaborate bhashyams on some of these mantras, but I am going to take the essence of it and try to explain to the best of my ability.
which we will continue from our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.